We're going to read about Abraham. Galatians chapter 3. Now, one thing you need to understand about this particular chapter and why I'm dwelling on it, because I believe the Holy Spirit wants me to dwell on it, is that if you perform for God as though He had a law that you had to keep, with the emphasis on you, that you had to keep, then you misunderstood the gospel. You misunderstood that everything in the Bible is good news. The Old Testament, New Testament, there is no such thing as a law that was made by God except to benefit you. There's no such thing as a law that meant to limit you. That's what laws do, they limit. But the burden is not on you. So any law that's written in the Bible applies to Jesus. It cannot apply to you unless you understand the word you. The word you means Christ in you, you, not natural you. So every law in the Bible is a promise. Every law in the Bible is a promise. Would that our government copied that God-given law system so that a law is actually a promise. And every law under our Constitution, as it's written in Texas, in the United States, every law is meant for your benefit. You are the sole beneficiary of every law. And the only law that's just, that is a law. It's not a law if it's not just. The only law that's just is the one that benefits the beneficiary. So the trustee, the government, cannot create, design, enact, adjudicate, or execute a law that is not for your good, your profit, your advantage, your benefit. Now, what I just said is not the case, in fact. What I said is that is God's understanding of law, that every law in the Bible is for Jesus to fulfill. His son. Now that you and I are sons and daughters, okay, we can do them, but we can't do them without him. So Jesus is doing them. And so relationship is everything. Performance is nothing. For example, that little baby does no performing. There's no way she behaves or misbehaves or anything. She just does what she does. Nothing or everything or whatever she does, just totally irrelevant. Relationship is the mother takes the initiative. The father takes the initiative, not the baby. You are God's child. So everything in this world is meant to be a burden to God and a blessing to you. That's a good parent. I'm sure that the responsibilities that you have for that child are very few, like zero. And the burden on you is like 100%. Am I right? And the baby's happy with that. I don't know if you noticed that, but the baby likes that. She can cry, she can laugh, she can do anything she wants to do, and it's okay. And she's picked that up. She's already got that down. And it'll be a year or more before she'll catch on that there's such a word as no. There's no no. And so the Bible is 100% good news. The Gospels, New Testament, four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, those Gospels are good news. You know what? Those four Gospels determine everything that follows all the way up to the book of Revelation in the New Testament and all the thing in the past. Everything in the Old Testament is a shadow. Everything in the New Testament is light. So if you want to know God's purpose, all you have to do is realize it's always for you. It's always for your benefit. Always. Now, you voluntarily can do love if you want. Like that. You voluntarily can do anything you want. And nobody's stopping you from loving another person. But there's no law against such. There's no law. There's no law on you to do it. Except the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, but that's not you. That's the Spirit of life, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. You don't have the Holy Spirit until you get the Holy Spirit. And when you have the Holy Spirit, He dwells in you, and then He does everything. Otherwise, you couldn't do it because you can't do perfect, but He does perfect. So everything that Jesus did is perfect, and therefore we can be happy all the time. In other words, there's no reason for that baby to grow up thinking, is today the day I'm grumpy, or is today the day I'm unhappy and miserable? The baby just every day just, yahoo, you know, whatever. Because there's no weight, no pressure on you. And never has been and never will be. Let God be true, but every man a liar. Lying is not a problem. That's a normal human activity. God isn't disturbed. You can break all the commandments. You can break every law. And we do, by the way. We do. We do break every law. Because you didn't do it with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength and your neighbor as yourself. You didn't love your neighbor equally as you love yourself. A little bit less than. Little bit less than. So I want you to know that everything in the Bible is good news. There's no bad news. Now I'm going to tell you what the Scripture says in Galatians 3, starting at verse 4. I want to start with verse 4, or maybe 5. I want to lead up to it, of how you get the Holy Spirit. How do you get the Holy Spirit? There's two ways. How do you get the Holy Spirit? One way, by doing the works of the law. Performing. Behaving. Another way, by hearing of faith that Jesus Christ has done it already 6,000 years ago before there even was a world. 6,000 years ago, Jesus Christ lived your life for you. So, he's not needing to do it now because he did it already. It's done. In heaven, there's no time, there's no space. This is before the world. That's when time and space began. So, history didn't start until there was a world. But there's no weight ever been on you and no weight ever will be on you forever and ever and ever. Why would you bring a child into the world to say, I can hardly wait to burden you? I can hardly wait to put duties and responsibilities on you. And yet everybody reads the Bible, even Christians read the Bible as what I must do, either before faith or after faith, something I have to burden myself with. And no, it's not true. There's no scripture like that. You may do it. You may freely eat of all the trees. But you don't have to be loved. So do you say to your baby, what's her name?
Briley.
Briley? Briley? Now today, if you want things to go well, you better do what you're told. You never say that to her. Never say that to her. Because she's not going to listen. She doesn't even understand those words. And so you might as well get used to that, as it's for the rest of her life, that she'll be loved unconditionally. Based on nothing. So God has never wanted anyone to behave. I'm going to say it again because you didn't hear what I said. God has never wanted anyone to behave. And sure enough, nobody ever does. Everything you do that you think is good is not counted by God as good. The only thing He counts as righteous, the only thing He counts as good is what He does. The only thing He's ever wanted is for Him to be God. For Him to be God. You can't be God. You can be like God, you can't be God. But you can be like God, but you can't be God. So you can only have one God, the real God, the true and living God. And none of us here can be God. Nor can you become God. Nor can you do something to make yourself more acceptable. So God, by the way, where is everybody today?
Summer vacation.
On the vacation? Oh, that's good. Because we didn't need them. We have all the wicked ones here today. That's perfect. It's perfect. So let's turn to the third chapter. And by the way, when there's fewer people, it's better because we can look eyeball to eyeball. Look at everybody. Nobody has to strain their neck now to see where I am. All right. Now, look at this here. This is so powerful. Let's start at verse 5. Are you going to do it too? Okay. Verse 5. Then he, capital H, God, then he, which supplies or supplying the Spirit to you, he, the one, supplying the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Who supplies the Holy Spirit to you? He, the Father and the Son. That's their Spirit. So he who supplies the Spirit to you, provides the Spirit, gives you the Spirit, and also this, working works of power in you. He who supplies the Spirit to you and then works miracles, signs, wonders in you. So, to you, in you. To you, in you. So, he who supplies and also he who works. He who supplies and he who works. Where do you come in? It's passive. So, he's going to ask you a question here. It's a question. He who supplies the Spirit to you and works mighty works in you. And here's the question. Does he do it? Is it by works of law keeping, performing, left hand, or is it by hearing of faith? Is it by works or by faith? Is it by you doing something or by him doing something? Is it by him promising to do something or you doing something? If it's you doing something, then you get a reward. If you do the right thing and if you're perfect. But since you can't do perfect, and nobody ever, 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 ever has, that baby will sooner or later say no to mom. I don't want to. You know, she already has a mind of her own, right? A will of her own. I don't want that. Take that out. You know, do this. But soon they'll have vocabulary to go along with it. And they'll learn so accurately how to say no. They'll learn it so accurately, perfectly to say that word in the right context. They'll know when to say it. No. I don't know how they learn that, but they just learn that. And they can hardly wait to use it because you said no to them for a few, you know, months. No, you will not do that. No, you do not. Because you talk to them as though they're listening. But then they learn that word and they learn, someday I'm going to use that word too. I like the way you use that as though I need to do something or stop doing something. No, you will not do that. And they're listening, but they're not paying attention, and you don't know it, but they're memorizing that word. And they will at a certain point rebel and just totally defy you and look right at you. No. And that's the time you know they're becoming a person, a real person. She's already a real person, but you'll know then she knows that she knows I'm a real person. And you cannot tell me what to do. Why? Because God made us that way. God made us not to be God, but to be like God. And she will actually adopt your smile, your language, your ways. That's amazing. Little kids learn by watching you. How do we learn from God? Beholding him, we are changed. Beholding him. So the more she sees you and dad and grandma and grandpa and whoever, the more she'll become like you. That's how they learn. If you misbehave, she'll misbehave. If you behave, she'll still misbehave. That's all. That's all. It's a guarantee. It's a guarantee. But she'll watch your reaction to her reaction to you. In other words, she will actually see how you respond when she doesn't respond the way you want her to respond. Because right now she just does what she does and doesn't think about it. But later she'll think about it. I don't want to. I will not do that. No. So that's powerful. Now, here's the question. Now I want you to answer it. Then he who supplies the Spirit to you and works of power in you, is it by works of law or by hearing of faith? Answer. Hearing of faith. That's the good news. That's the good news. Huh. That's powerful. So do you do it by works or by hearing? Hearing. It's powerful. She already knows. She's watching, seeing. I'm not sure. I'm not sure about that. But she's already paying attention. And then she'll go about her own business. Even as, verse 6, Abraham believed God. Now, say it yourself. I believe God. I believe God. Okay. If you believe God, God will count that as righteousness. But if you said, I will obey God, you will not. If you said, I will obey God, you will not. But if you said, Christ in me, me in relationship with Christ, I will do it. But actually, it won't be me, it'll be God. So he said to Jesus one day, good teacher, and he said, why do you call me good? Don't call me good. I mean, in heaven, I'm Son of God, good. But on earth, I'm Son of Man, and I wait on God to do it. Jesus never did his own works, never said his own words, never thought his own thoughts. I'm telling you, he didn't. He said, I always say what pleases the Father, always do what pleases the Father. But you see, he was doing something, but then when they pressed him, he said, no, actually it's the Father who dwells in me that doeth the works. Don't call me good. You're thinking of me up in heaven as Son of God. No, think of me down here as Son of Man. I only do what he says, which is, he does it. The Father who dwells in me doeth. I don't doeth. Now, this is so hard to get a hold of because we've been trained by other pastors, religion, society, morals. We've been trained our whole life to behave, and we've only misbehaved. The more you're told to behave, the less you'll do it. You may do it outwardly, but you don't do it with all your heart or all your soul or all your strength or your neighbor as yourself, equal to you. It's not possible. I just want you to know something. He never wanted you to do any of that. Why did he give the law? For Jesus. Why did he give the law? For Jesus. Why did he give the law? Not for you. But he said me. Yeah, but that's the new you he was talking about. The Christ in you, you. So now it's easy, Michelle. All you have to do is nothing. And you're very good at doing nothing. Did you know that apart from me, you can do nothing, Jesus said? So doing nothing is natural. Now I'm going to preach from memory. Just lost my Bible here. They need to make these Bibles better. All right. So God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Remember he said to Abraham, because we're talking about Abraham now, even as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him by God, it was counted to him as righteousness. In other words, thank you. What you just did pleases me. You did nothing. You let me do everything. And you saw that I did it. And you gave me the credit. And you believed me. You trusted me. That's all God's ever wanted. So it's easy to raise children. Just do everything and then they do nothing. So easy. Give them all the blessing. Judy, you spoiled Mark. You did. You did. But it's okay. Because that's exactly what God expects. Why? Because we love unconditionally. We don't love them because they behave. We love them because they're ours. So, that's why. That baby is loved just because it belongs to somebody. We belong to Jesus. Why? Because He created you. Nobody else created you. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they created us in their image, our image, and according to our capacity to be not God, but like God. Like God. Their baby will grow up to be like mom. No matter what you do, she's going to copy you. You speak English, she'll speak English. I don't know what you're speaking to her. If you speak Spanish, she'll speak Spanish. Whatever you do, that's what that child will do. If you speak Chinese, she'll learn Chinese within a year and a half. She'll know that whole language. I don't care how complex it is. So that's how smart little kids are. Why? Because they don't do any thinking or anything. They don't even know how it all works. They just simply watch you and hear you. Pretty soon they're doing what you do. They'll follow you around. They'll grab a hold of your skirt, you know, whatever. They just do it. Nobody teaches them. They have no books to read. Could I see the book on behaving? You know, there aren't any books like that. They learn everything by watching. Everything is passive. Nothing is active. You will never, ever be good. Only God is good. No one else is good but God. Now, how many of you grew up being good? Right. So that is impossible. That's impossible. He didn't even want that. God never wanted anyone to be good. He wanted you to be like Him, meaning He thinks you thinks. He acts you acts. He feels you feels, etc. But you know what? You'll never be perfect. You'll never be perfect. So even though you do behave, you'll discover that everything you do is not perfect. And if you don't, other people will let you know that you're not perfect. Right? I mean, they will. They may not say it. They may say it. But sooner or later, you'll discover that life stinks because people don't know how great you are, you know, how awesome you are, how valuable you are. But I'll tell you one thing, God believes every human being, I don't care where they come from, how they got here, God believes every human being has natural dignity, value, and worth equal to every other human being without any distinction. You can't change God's mind on that. So everybody's equal. But it doesn't even appear that way. And people don't behave that way. And there's no way you could know that. It's not a self-evident truth. There's no way that your natural reason or your natural conscience or moral behavior would ever figure that out. God had to reveal it. The hidden things belong to God. The revealed things belong to you. Now that He's revealed it, now you're responsible to know that, because it's the truth, and that'll set you free. That's the truth, and it'll set you free. So, are people better than other people? No. Do they try to make themselves better? Yes. Does it work? Well, not in God's sight. In man's sight, yes, it does. People always lord it over other people, try to control other people, try to dominate other people, try to judge other people, try to, you know, figure out. But you don't even know the heart of another person. All you could judge by is their behavior or your own. You don't even know your own behavior. You don't even know yourself, really. Psychiatry doesn't know you. Psychology doesn't know you. Sociology doesn't know you. Nothing really knows deep inside. You know something, but you don't perfectly know, finally know. You don't even know who you are. For example, everyone here is a wicked sinner, but nobody knows that. They only know that they sin now and again. They don't really know that they sin continuously. Nobody knows that. That everything you do is sinful, selfish. Everything you do is opposed to God. Everything. Nobody knows that. They only know some things. They're certain that, yeah, that was wrong. No, that was wrong. I did three things today, you know. But that's not true. The truth is, God says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So in other words, I created you to be my steward on earth, my entrusted servant on earth, and to love me with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength and your neighbor as yourself equally, and you didn't do it. So you're all guilty. Everybody owes God. Everybody owes God. Well, I didn't even consent to that. I don't even agree to that. It doesn't matter. You're just made that way. Sorry. It's existential. It's not something you chose. But God reveals that you can choose to actually please God. How? By doing nothing and letting him do everything and having a relationship with him who does. So by having a relationship with the living God, your righteousness is counted as Jesus' righteousness. His righteousness is actually for you, in you, through you. He did it all. To God be the glory. That's why he gets worship. You don't get worship. You'll never be God. You'll always be not God. You'll never be God. Nor can you become God. You can become like him. That is, you can do something, but it'll be imperfect, but it'll be imperfect. Unless it's the Holy Spirit inside of you working the works. He who supplies the Spirit to you and worketh his works in you. That's the one. That's the one. Therefore, it either comes by faith or it comes by works. If it comes by faith, you did it. Then you get a reward. But since it's not true, you will never get the reward that you're after. You'll never finish your pyramid. No matter how good you try to make yourself, you'll never be good. Never, 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 never. Only one is good and only one does anything. God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So that God loves you unconditionally, no condition whatsoever, just like this baby. Tell me the name one more time.
Briley.
Briley, B-R-Y. B-R-I-L-E-Y. Briley. Well, Briley, that's as good as she's going to get. You know, right there. That's as good as she's going to get. So, they don't ever expect more. So, nobody needs to behave in order to be loved. God loves you unconditionally. You know, it's not a big thing for God. You know why? God is love. God is love. So don't give God credit as though it's just that he is God. God is love. And you know what? There's no shadow. No shadow of turning with God. He can't be evil. He cannot. He's not even tempted to do evil. He cannot. It's not even possible. Once he says, I love you, he loves you. That's it. And that's just it. Because you're not God and you never will be God and you cannot become God. But you can be godly, like God. He created you that way. And not a tree. There's no tree that's going to be like God. There's no frog that's going to be like God. There's no bug that can be like God. But everything else in the universe cannot be God, worship God, or serve God. Because they're just made with instinct or whatever. And so everything else in the world fits in perfectly, and there's no sin in any rock or in an alligator eating a monkey. There's no sin because they don't have any choices. God made them that way, so they're not responsible. We are the only ones that are responsible. But guess what? You can't do it. You can't do it. Even though you're responsible, you cannot do it. But he can do it. He is not bound. He is free to do it for no reason at all. For no reason at all. For no reason at all. In other words, there's nothing that you did that makes him go one way or the other. He just is love. So, Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. So, that's it. Do y'all understand that? Now, I can teach this 1,000 times and you won't get it because you'll slip into the old, because the whole of culture is pretending like they know good and evil. And it's a lie. They don't know good or evil. So, your schooling, your training, your family training, and so on. And by the way, raise your children under the law. You know, raise them under the law. No, don't do that. You know why? Because every law is for your good. Any law that's from God, based in nature or God, is immutable. You can't change it. And it's always for the benefit, the advantage, the profit, the goodness for you. So when he says, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that means that's not good for you. That's why don't. But you will. He knows you will. But he tells you don't. That's how you raise children. We don't know how long they lasted in the not eating of the tree. But it was soon. I don't know how soon. We don't know. Nothing tells us that. So there's nothing in the Bible that says he was 930 years and then he died, Adam. But we don't know how long they were innocent. But we know there was some time, at least in the morning to the afternoon, when Eve got there. That's when the sin began. No, we don't know that. We don't know that. We do not know. We do not know that. I'm just telling you something. Is you don't know and you don't care and it's not necessary. All we know is that all have sinned. Sooner or later, all have sinned. Because you're not God. You can't. Not sin is be perfect. And did you know now that he loves you perfectly? You also can be perfect in him, through him, by him, with him. It's relationship. God never has wanted performance. He only wants relationship. Have a right relationship, the performance. Make the tree good, the fruit will be good. How do you make the tree good? It's easy. You don't do anything. He does everything. What must we do to be doing the works of God? Only believe. So, only believe, don't do any work. Why? Because you can't. Because the only work he accepts is perfect, and only Jesus Christ has done any perfect work for you. So therefore, he now lives in you. The Father himself lives inside of you through the Son, according to the Spirit. There it is. So you're the house, the dwelling place, the temple of the Holy Ghost. You, how does that all happen? God knows. God knows. So you can't change that. Now, all I'm telling you is that should be good news to you because everything God has ever done is good. He's never done anything evil. Even when he made the world, he didn't make evil. He didn't create evil in the sense that I think I'll create some evil. It's just anything that isn't good isn't good. If it isn't good, it isn't good. That's it. So when you want to be right with God, have a relationship. How can you? Well, because he loves you. That baby has to do nothing to earn your love. You just love the baby. And the baby's confident. I depend on that. And they abuse you. Right? Am I right? They abuse you. Keep you up and make you come when there's no reason. And, you know, you have to figure that out when they cry. It might be a real cry. It might be just attention seeking. You don't really know. I don't know how early they think, but I think they think pretty early. It's like, this kind of cry gets them every time. They show up right over my crib. Aha, there they are. And all I have to do is cry, and it brings them. And they learn right away, hey, I think right now I don't have a pin sticking in me or change a diaper, but I think I just want to see somebody. Yeah, there you are. Okay, everything's cool. And so babies are smart, are they not? I mean, there's not a baby in the world that doesn't know how to do that. I don't know how they do it. I don't know how they figure that out. But it's natural. And it's worked for 6,000 years rather well. And so here's what it says in verse 6. In verse 6, even as Abraham believed God, that's all that matters, right there. Even as Abraham believed God. Say it again. I believe God.
I believe God.
That's it. That's it. You're pleasing to God. It's counted to him as righteousness. And he counted it as righteousness. Just believing God. Not obeying God. Not serving God. Not following God. Just believing God. Make the tree good and the fruit will be good. Don't worry about it. You don't have to worry about that. If you just believe God, that's what's good. That's it. Now, did you do it? No. You were passive. You just simply heard him promise something or say something. If it was a law, it belonged to Jesus. If it was a promise, it belonged to you. I'm going to say it again. If it was a law, it belongs to Jesus. It doesn't belong to you. Don't keep the laws. Don't keep the laws. I don't have to tell you not to because you won't. But I'm just telling you, you won't. You will never keep the laws. Because you have to keep them with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. If you hadn't added that, it'd be do the best you can. But he said, I want you to love the Lord thy God with all your heart. So worship is first, and worship is second, and worship is third, And did you know that everything that flows out of worship is still worship and its fruits? So all of your behavior, it really comes from worship. If you worship God first, you'll love your neighbor as yourself. You don't have to say, okay, I have two things to do. I have to worship God, and then I have to love my neighbor. No, you only have one thing to do. The second one is like unto it. Because when you worship God with all your heart, he will then have a relationship with you and cause you then to love the neighbor just as he just loved you. That's so powerful. It's so sweet. It's so simple. So there's only one thing. One thing is necessary. You remember Martha and Mary? One was the worker and the other one was, you know, trying to listen to the promises and listen to the good news. She needed it. Mary. Mary hath chosen the better part. So that was a choice, meaning it's not existential, it's essential. The choices you make determine your person. Personality development. Developing your person is what life is all about. So who are you? I am God's beloved. I'm the apple of his eye. I'm sweet in his sight. Doesn't matter. The Jewish people are not better than other people. All people. In fact, the Jews were to be the light to the others so that they could see it, that they were not perfect people, but God loved them anyway and blessed them anyway. Amen. So they're not cursed. Did you know that nobody is cursed, really? You can curse yourself. You can let the devil lie to you, but you can't say God cursed anybody. I know you think so because you didn't meditate on what the words mean. When you meditate on a law, you'll find out it's always a promise. You shall not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Sounds like a law, but it also could be a promise. You shall not eat. It's a promise by God. I would rather have it be a promise by God than a law toward me that I should keep, because I'm not a keeper of the law. I'm not a perfect person. And I'll keep it with half my heart, half my soul, you know, something like that. I can't keep it wholeheartedly. So because you cannot, nothing is perfect with you. Only God is perfect. And because God is perfect and he has a relationship with you, and you stay with him in relationship with him by doing nothing but letting him do his perfect work, you'll become like him. Too sweet. Too simple. So, number 7. Know this then. Know this then, that those who are of faith, these are the sons of Abraham. So everybody here is a son of Abraham. Okay, I want you to literally say, I am a son of Abraham. Okay, now I want you to say something else that's equally ridiculous because the ladies had to call themselves sons. I want you to say, I am the bride of Christ. Okay, now the men said something all equally silly. As we said something. Can you tell God how words work? If he wants to call me a bride, I'm into it. If he wants to call you a son, you're into it. Why? Because heaven and earth don't think like we think down here. Heaven thinks differently. My thoughts are not your thoughts. So I'm not going to change anything God has said. I'm going to say it just the way God says it. And I don't want to even guess what it might mean. I just simply say it because he said to say it. So I am a bride. You are a son. It's not a problem. I know it has to do with relationship, but I don't want to examine it and think about it and chew on it because it'll just make my brain go crazy. So I don't need to understand everything. Why? Because the hidden things belong to God and the revealed things belong to you. If he wanted me to know it, he would have explained it. He doesn't want me to know it. He just wants me to know that I'm his bride and you're his son. So we're all sons and we're all brides, period. I don't mean all mankind. I mean all of us who are believers. And the scripture, verse 8, Galatians 3:8, and the scripture foreseeing, how many know God sees everything before it happens? Foreseeing, because the scripture is God's word, and the scripture, God's word, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen, the nations, the Gentiles, the goyim, by faith. So the only way you can be made just with God, righteous with God, perfect harmony with God is by faith. That's it. It makes it so simple. Now, this has been taught since the Reformation, clearly, though there was a 1,000-year gap in there or more, when men were confused about it because the Catholic Church taught, literally, that you had to keep the law. You had to do the law. And they got that idea from the Jews who had to keep the law, behave themselves. And all society agrees with that, and everybody agrees with that because they know they're not that good. So they try to do some good things to make up for the few bad things they've done. But the problem is, you're worse than you know. And you haven't just done a few bad things. The worst thing is not to break all the Ten Commandments, because everybody breaks those. Because you didn't do it with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength and your neighbor as yourself. You didn't do that. So the biggest sin is not believing. The biggest sin is not what you did and didn't do. The biggest sin is that you didn't believe that God was your only righteousness and truth and goodness and peace and joy and everything. He is your all in all. All in all sounds like all in all. That's what it sounds like. So therefore, you can't do what God can do, but he's already done what you can't do, so you done it, if you believe. Because he done it for you through Christ by the power of the Spirit. So everything now is possible. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But it's with the relationship. Apart from me, nothing, no relationship. But in me, you can do all things. You are now the branch in his vine. You are now his branch. In other words, he is the living stone and you're a stone next to him that was dead, but now you're alive because your stone is touching him because he chose to do that and you chose to believe that and therefore it's true. You didn't make it true. The rock doesn't jump over next to the other rock. But he chose you and he chose for his rock to be next to your rock. He told you, I chose you. Now, if you believe it, it's true, but you'd never be able to figure it out. How did I get over here? How did I get into this tree? How did that all happen? God didn't force it. It was voluntary, and yet I didn't choose it. He chose me. Therefore, because he loves me, I love you. It's simple. So you don't have to make yourself love somebody, because you can't. But you just do. That's the way he made it. So, to God be the glory. Amen. To God be the glory. You are now a lover. Why? Because you believe God. And even though you didn't read all the fine print, it's okay. It all counts. Because you're a believer, that's it. So you're believing a person rather than worrying about some deed you're going to do or not do. Don't worry about performance. Only relationship. It always precedes performance. See, the Catholic Church, you had to perform to be worthy of a relationship with us. No. First you get the relationship for free from him. He wants to marry you. You're the bride that says yes. But there's nothing to it. I just am not saying no. I mean, Peggy never did say yes. She just simply said, well, I don't want anyone else to have you. That is not exactly saying yes, but you know, I knew since she didn't want anyone else to have me, that was probably a yes. And I asked her if that a yes, and she didn't answer ever. You know, even to this day, she hasn't answered. Yes, I love you. And so I'm totally happy with that because I got what I wanted. I don't care about her. I don't care if she wanted me or not. I tricked her into it, you see, because she didn't say no and she didn't say yes. I couldn't get her to say either because she didn't want to make a mistake, right, because she's under a law. So she had to behave, and she didn't want to go to hell, so she just didn't say. Because then in case it turned out bad, she'd be blamed. So this way it just turned out bad, and now she, you know, can blame me all day long, and I don't care, because I got what I wanted. Do you all understand? So there's no weight on Peggy, and I've never put weight on her. I don't want her to ever do a lick of work or cook or sew or anything. Nothing. I don't care what she doesn't do or does do. She just be her. I don't love her for a reason. I love her unconditionally, meaning just the way she is. And I want the best for her. I want the best for her. That's pretty powerful. She kind of likes me every once in a while. That is my seeing it. but I believe it anyway. I always translate everything like she speaks in tongues. I always translate what she says. Did you just say you love me with all your heart and soul and strength? So I'm accepting that. But I don't need to see it to believe it. Do y'all understand? I mean, this is not just theology words. This is actually living. It's powerful. When you hear the truth of God, it sets you free. The truth of God is there's nothing you need to do for Him to love you. He sent His Son long before there was a world. He laid Him down. God Himself provides the Lamb. Whatever's required from you, He'll do it. He supplies what He requires. That's interesting. Whatever you require of the child, let's say you're going to teach her someday how to put her toys in the box. Okay, and you have a little box there and have a toy thing. You say, you put your toy in the box. They won't. They might do something, but it won't be that. You show them where it belongs and so on. They'll throw it over there or move it or do nothing, whatever. But you'll end up doing it, and they watch you do it over and 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 over. And about 5-6 years later, they've got it down as a concept. I know I'm supposed to put the toy away. But the truth is you learn only the lingo long before, that is the concept, long before the deed. It'd be an accident if they did it. And that does happen. Everyone's probably doing, oh, very good. You did right, you know. But the truth is, sooner or later people will rebel. So it doesn't matter. Even if they do 6 good things, on the 7th time they won't. So don't put pressure on other people to behave. Love people for no reason at all. Love people even though they do everything to undeserve it. Love them anyway. Even bless your enemies. Even bless your enemies. That's amazing. That's proof that you're a Christian, is because you aren't just saying, I love my enemy. You actually love your enemy. Right? This church across the street over here, you know, their behaviors are not mine, and I don't accept what they're doing. But it isn't because they offend me. It's because I know that's not happiness for them. So I'm not mad at them or hate them or can't bless them or love them as they are or talk to them or whatever else. But I don't agree with anything they're doing, and I never will. Why? Because it doesn't agree with God. Since it doesn't agree with God, that's a law. But I don't think it's up to them to change. I think it's up to God. I think it's up to God. I didn't think it's up to me to, you know, to prove that. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they all come here someday. Why? Because anything's possible. How many know that with God all things are possible? Why? Sooner or later it won't work. It won't work. It won't work. It won't work. So there will be customers someday anyway. But it doesn't matter who they are, where they are, what they are. Just they're people. And therefore, since God so loved the world, that's more than just us. If He loved the world, well, there it is. That's all there's to it. If He does, then I does because of Jesus in me. If He's not in me, I can't. I just can't. And I won't. But, I could revert easily back to my old way of life in a second, in a moment, in a hairbreadth. How many have an old life style that you used to do and you knew it was wrong and you're not doing it anymore? But it could come back in a second. You could not have done so in 25 years and all of a sudden you'll revert back. Something will happen and you'll revert back by nature. But you are no longer of this world. Amen. My kingdom is not of this world. You are now a new creation made by God, a new creation, unlike the old creation, in which you didn't have to earn it. You just simply believed. That's the new creation. The new creation is totally built on faith. You receive the Spirit of God. Who supplies to you the Spirit? To you. And works the work in you. Wow. He not only loves you when you're unlovable, still sinful, but He also then changes you. That's two good things right there. He loves me while I'm yet a sinner, and then He actually removes the sin not just the guilt of the sin, but the sin itself, so that I'm perfected. That's incredible. And then he wants to marry me and all these other things, give me all the kingdom. And it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. If that's his good pleasure, no one can stop him from having good pleasure. He wouldn't have it for no reason at all. I will receive the kingdom. What did I do to get it? Nothing. What do I have to do? Nothing. What did he do? Everything. He likes everything. Did you know that impossible things with us are possible with God? If it's possible, God won't do that. You can do that. But if it's impossible, he can do that, and nobody else can do that. That's God. So since he loves me, it's even better. Now he's not only all-powerful, he's all-good. And now he's not only all-good and all-powerful, but all-wise. And so therefore he doesn't make foolish statements. Everything he says you can count on. So listen carefully here. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the nations, the Gentiles, the wicked, the unrighteous, by faith, not by behavior change, not by behavioral modification, not by progressivism. Hillary believes in progressivism. I'm not mad at her for doing that. She's just doing normal stuff. It's the way it is today. But you know what? I don't believe in progressivism. I don't think people gradually get better or society gets better. You remember the days when people would wash their clothing on rocks down at the riverside? Used to, you know, pound on them and beat on them, whatever they do. I never did it, so I don't know what they did. But whatever they do, they're trying to get all the dirt out, and the running water helps to do it. Well, the washboard was a little improvement. But here's the thing I wanted to say, is some lady figured out this. Gee, I wish we didn't have to go down to the river every day and wash these things out. If we had a washing machine, that would be such a blessing. I tell you, I'd have a lot of free time. Well, they got the washing machine, and now she watches TV. You didn't hear what I just said. So I was going to do something good. Of course, good. It would be good not to have to come down here and wash these things. I'll progress. We'll have progress. We'll have some improvement. Or let's say they conquer cancer. They advertise now. MD Anderson wants to advertise about, we're going to cure cancer. We're going to get that finally, you know, and it'll be gone. No, it won't. It'll be replaced by five worse things that you don't even know about. They don't even have a name today. They'll come up. There is no such thing as anything being changed. It's always been this way. It will always be this way until you become a new creation. Now that you're a new creation, you're not part of the old. So happiness doesn't come from being part of the old creation. They can pursue it, but they cannot find it. But it found us. Happy is the man that trusts in the Lord, his promises. Not his commands, his promises. I told you his commands are just promises in disguise. Because Jesus keeps the promises, you get all the blessing from those promises. Jesus fulfills those promises, and now all you need is Jesus. And with Jesus Christ, he freely gives you all things. As soon as you get Jesus Christ, you get everything else too. You just got Jesus, but then you actually got everything. Not only in eternity, but also in time. So everything is rigged by God in your behalf, in your favor. You are his beloved. Say it. I am God's beloved. He loves me more than anything.
He loves me more than anything.
You see, he doesn't love Jesus first and you second. He loves you equally to his own Son. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, they all love you perfectly. His perfect love, their perfect love, however you want to say it, casts out all fear. I don't have any more fear. I don't have any more guilt. I'm not guilty anymore. I'm under a new creation, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Spirit of life is not me. The Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, that's who I am now. That's a new creation. You don't have to believe it. Nobody make you believe it. But if you do, you do. And if you don't, you don't. You can't make yourself believe it. You can read it 1,000 times. It doesn't mean you will believe it on the 1,000th. Or you can believe it right away. I don't know how it works. It's a mystery. It's something hidden from us. All I know is when you meditate on this word and chew on this word, it can produce faith. I don't know how it works. Nobody can say, well, how'd you get it? I don't know. I think I have a secret. One is, because I was wicked, I believe it made sense to me. When it is that, you know, behave, I don't want to. And I believe that's why I got a hold of it, because it was written to sinners. I don't know if you're aware of this. Jesus said, I did not come for the righteous. I only came for sinners. I believe this was written just for me. So I took it personally, but I rejected it for 7 years. I remember exactly when I began seeking, and I remember I got nowhere. I wasn't getting any closer. You know, there's nothing. 7 years just went by, and then all of a sudden, boom, one day I just got it. And I know it's because I was wicked. I know it's because I was not righteous. I had no rights. I never had righteousness. But then one day I got it. Now, I didn't get it because I was wicked. I had an advantage. That's no advantage. I just never thought I was good, never wanted to be good, and never intended to be good. I was not even interested. I didn't even pursue him with all my heart. When I heard that, I read that scripture, pursue him with all your heart. Well, that's a no contest right there. I'm not doing it. I'll wear out right away. With it just be minutes and seconds, I'll be on to something else. Because I know how to be wicked, but I don't know how to be righteous. How many know that there's no advantage? Nobody has an advantage. Like Peggy, when we got married, she thought, well, I don't want to be a pastor's wife because I became a Christian. And then she thought, well, I'm probably halfway there because I'm even better than Jim is. And so, and then, you know, that was okay with me. You know, I don't really care. But she found out being married to me actually brought out her wickedness and her sinfulness. And she had many more sins than when we got married. And I helped out there. I was a blessing in that.
Yeah. You said, I got it. I got it just means I believed.
Yeah.
You're not getting something. You
correct.
Got it means I believed it.
Yeah. She's making a very good point, is that I had nothing to do with it. If God doesn't pursue you, you cannot pursue him. Everything he wrote in there is impossible with man. But everything he wrote in there, he can turn it into a promise if he wants to. And because he said he wants to, you don't have to do anything.
But also, I hear people saying, I haven't got it. I haven't got it.
Right.
And all you're saying is, I believe.
Correct.
You're not getting something.
No, you're right.
You're just believing.
Totally.
You're believing.
Right. Yeah. It's just opening your eyes. The scales are on your eyes, and it is open one day, and you realize. So there's no effort you can make to get it. Now, I admit, and I think all of you could say this, I tried to get it, and it didn't work. And try as I may, I knew I was still a phony and a fake and a liar. I mean, I knew it. And I got up in front of my church. You all know this. But I got up in front of my church years ago and said, look, I'm a complete liar, complete phony, complete fake. I just thought I'd let you know so you could fire me or leave, whatever you want to do. But I'm just going to keep seeking. But I'm not a Christian. Not. I'm a pastor, but I'm not a Christian. I'm not a moral person. I'm not a nice person. And just thought I should let you know. So now you do what you want. And everybody stayed. Everybody stayed except two families. And I had some churches for them to go to, and they went to them. So there you have it. But, see, you can be whoever you are. Just be whoever you are. Be whoever you are, just like Briley. Be whoever you are. And you know what? Let God do all the initiation. Let God take all the responsibility. Let God bear all the burdens. God himself will provide the Lamb. So since he has, nobody has to believe it. And I wouldn't if I wasn't so wicked. If wickedness had brought me happiness, I wouldn't have been interested in Jesus. But it did not. I can just tell you something. I tried more than Peggy tried. I tried hard to be wicked and get happiness out of it. It didn't work. And terror actually came into my life because I realized life was a lot more evil than I knew. And I already knew I was evil. But I also realized there's no way you can get this thing. There's no way you can make this world work. It's impossible. And terror entered in. I didn't make the terror enter. It just entered in. I think Kennedy's death had a huge, I'm certain of it. His death had a huge impact on me. That spring, 1963, God is Dead was written, declared by Time magazine at exactly at Resurrection Sunday, exactly at the time of spring when it was Resurrection Sunday. And I remember looking at that because I was at seminary. And I remember looking at that and thinking, they shouldn't really tell the world this, that nobody at Yale believes in God anyway, and I don't. But they shouldn't be telling the people that because they won't give. They won't come. If God is dead, and I didn't even attend their funeral, I didn't even know about it until it came out. But Nietzsche had said that 100 years before and so on and so forth. So it's nothing new to anybody who goes to seminary today. Is people at Yale and Harvard and so on, those big liberal schools, nobody believes in God. None of the professors, none of the students. And you go there just to get head knowledge and become president of the United States or something. And that, now that's literally true. And I was into that. You know, it's cool. But my motives were always evil and always selfish and always nasty. But somehow God visited me, the always evil, nasty person, and loved me. That's amazing. I'm still amazed. To this day, I'm still amazed. I just can't believe every day. It's like fresh every morning that God would pay any attention to me at all. You know, it says in the Bible that he does. All his thoughts are thoughts toward us. You know, they're always thoughts of peace, always thoughts of loving us and helping us. That's amazing. So it's good to know that God is for me, and he's the most powerful, the most good, and the most smart, and he's for me. That's amazing. I didn't believe that. But one day I did. One day I did. And I can't explain it. But when it happened, it was 100%. I knew from that moment on, I not only had joy that I never had had before, I had fear and terror that I wouldn't be able to keep the thing. It's like, I can't believe how good this thing is. But it may be a few seconds, but I'm going to celebrate for a few seconds. But it just stayed and stayed and stayed. And I kept reading it and studying it to find out what it was that I was hearing. I meditated in it, and I couldn't figure out the law, and I couldn't figure out the gospel. I couldn't figure out either of them. But I just knew that I knew that I knew. And that's it. That's it. Now, whatever the psychology of it is, I have zero interest in it. I'm not interested. Why? Because what I got is so interesting that is not interesting to me. Is how did you get it? I mean, it may be to other people. How did you get that? I can give a testimony, but it wouldn't impress anybody. Unless you're a wicked sinner, this has no meaning. Thank God I have several of them in this church. You want to raise your hand? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That's good. The rest of you are liars and you're going to hell. But that's okay. I'm just telling you, this good news is so good, but it's only good for sinners. You have to be a sinner. You have to know yourself.
You have to know you're a sinner.
Yeah, you have to know you're a sinner. But that was not hard for me. In my case, that was not hard, definitely. Because I don't remember any kindness or warmth or love or care for others ever. Ever. So, they call that sociopath. And I don't care what they call it. I admit it all. I don't have a problem admitting it. But whatever it was, when I heard this good news, it's like unbelievable. I don't believe that. Nah, that's ridiculous. God could never love me. I don't think he loves anybody, but I don't even think there is a God. But, not me. And I don't even want that. I don't want any God to love me. Because I know sooner or later there'll be a string attached to it or something. I ain't getting into that because I've looked at Christians. I've seen them. They're either liars or hypocrites or phony or fake or something or other. I don't want to be like one of them. I'm going for happiness with all I've got. To the hilt. You ever heard of that? Go to the hilt of the sword. I'm driving at it all the way. And I had no morals. Peggy tried over and over again to get me to be moral. And it's like, Peggy, it's not going to work. You just take me as I am. And too bad for you. I have no sympathy for you. You're stupid. You shouldn't have said yes, even though she never said it literally. You shouldn't have got into it. Too bad. There you have it. Because cruelty was not anything interesting to me. It's just nice, cruel. I didn't have any morals. I had no good or bad. Just I did what I did because I wanted to. Everything I didn't have to justify it. I just wanted to do it. Why did you do that? Because I wanted to. And most of the time, I don't even answer. Just do what I did. Because it's a waste of time to talk to people. Hello. Or argue with people. So, I don't. It's not worth it. Just declare the truth of Jesus Christ. You know, he said that every time the word goes forth, it produces life. I just believe that. And I don't really care. I don't have a stake in that. So, this Abraham believing God is the father of faith is the key to world, to the whole world. If you don't get this religion down, every other religion is a lie. Every other religion wants you to behave. You can't name another religion that doesn't want you to be good. The whole point of a religion is so that you'll somehow pay off God, help the guy out, or you'll behave yourself with the world. And the only reason people even like the God thing is so that they can get the world thing. They just want you to love the neighbor. But it doesn't work because you'll only love him half-heartedly. So I don't believe in good people. There are no good people. There's only a good God. And that good God wants to marry me. So he has to marry me while I'm yet a sinner. Then he has to change me from glory to glory. And then he gets to marry me. And I don't have anything to do with it. I can't even make him do any of that. I don't even know how it works, and I don't care to know. I have no curiosity whatsoever. But I am happy, radiantly happy, just like Oboe. Amen? Oboe's the same, because he knows. Am I right? Why? Because that's the way we all are. We're all the same, whether we know it or not. Now, next verse, 9. Where am I? I've already lost my page here. Yeah. 9. I'm losing all my pages here. I hate buying these Bibles. I've got to get another one now. All right. God would justify the nations by faith, preach the gospel before to Abraham. All the nations will be blessed in you. There's his preaching right there. That's what God preached when he made the promise to Abraham. All the nations. Remember he said, I will show you a land, which you don't know. I'm not going to give you a map. I'm going to actually show you personally. Wow. And then he said, and then not only that, I'll make your name great. Wow, that impressed him. So these are all good things that people like in the flesh. Flesh people like these promises. I'm going to show you a blessed land, and I'm going to then bless you beyond, and your name will be great, and I'll curse those that curse you. I'll bless those that bless you. All the families of the earth we bless. That's what this one says. So if all the families, imagine what that would be, that there's not a family on earth in any country or any climate or any time zone that they have to get to Abraham. They can't come by Buddha. They can't come by, because those are not anything. There are no gods. All false gods are no gods. There's only one true and living God. And he's active. Benjamin Franklin had a problem with that because he didn't think God was necessarily active. George Washington had always said he was. And he helped us in the war. We wouldn't have won the revolution without it because we were just a little group of people. And the British were well uniformed and trained and seasoned. And they had all the money and all the power and so on. And they wanted us to be slaves. And we didn't have a chance. So he actually believed in it. But Benjamin Franklin thought, I don't know what it was, but whatever it was, we had to do it. And he wrote the Almanac and all that is behave yourself. That's all it is, behave yourself. Because he was a Quaker raised, and then they believe in all that and so on. But the truth is, one day he looked at the chair that George Washington was sitting in and saw it had a sun. And he thought, I wonder if that's a setting sun or a rising sun. And then on that day, on that morning, he stood up and said, Sir, I've lived a long time, and I've always wondered if that was a setting sun or a rising sun. I now know that's a rising sun, and that if the people in Babel couldn't build that thing without God, who are we that we should build this empire we're thinking about without God? Let us from now on, he had never said this, Let us from now on have prayer every morning in this chambers. Nobody voted. Nobody responded to his thing, and so they didn't do it. But sooner or later, they began to do it. And everything changed. He said, you know why we're not getting along in here? It's not because of all the reasons we're saying. The point is, it's because of God. We need his aid. If a sparrow can't even fall to the ground, how are we going to do anything? Let's do God. That's the first time. So he said, I now believe that God is active in the affairs of men. Today, our politicians are not thinking of God. Our businessmen are not thinking of God. Your neighbors are not thinking of God. But there are some that do. There are some politicians, some businessmen, and some, you know, neighbors thinking only of God. And there's a whole bunch of them here in Texas. So it's powerful. Peggy and I went to a meeting last night, and it was good. Everyone there was in politics, but everyone there was a believer. I mean, it was amazing. It was amazing. And their prayers were amazing. And, you know, we all knew that it wasn't talking politics, even though they talked politics. It was all about God and nothing else. It was strong. It touches your heart to realize, wow, that's heaven on earth, a little piece of heaven on earth. And the credit goes to Christians like us, is you're the light, the salt. There isn't any other. So Buddhists can't do it. Progressivists can't do it. And socialists can't do it. And so on. No one's going to do it but us. So let's do it. You all excited about it? How can you do it? You can't. But he can. And he's with you. So therefore, we will together. That is, I'll know he did it. And I'll get the credit for it. But I didn't do anything. I know that. For as many as are of works of the law, under the law, subject to the law, these are under a curse. He didn't say, I cursed them. He just said, these are under a curse. For it has been written, here's how you know, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all the things having been written in the book of the law. So if you want to do one part of the law, like wear a beanie on your head or, you know, whatever you call them, keepers and all this stuff. Look, if you want to do one part, you got to do all of it. You got to have the priesthood. You got to have the lambs. You got to do everything God literally said. You cannot pick and choose. You want to do the law? Be perfect. Well, that puts everything out. Because nobody even claims to do perfect, not even the Jewish people. They're not claiming anymore. We're trying to be perfect every day. They say the words, but they know. Every one of them confesses, well, you know, I had a little bacon last week, that kind of thing. Because they all knew you can't do it. This is impossible. Could you have that baby behave? Briley, what are you doing? Yeah, you're so happy. Yeah. How are you today? Want to be a friend? Okay. She's got a smiley face. Briley smiley. All right. Cursed is everyone that does not continue in all the things having been written in the book of the law to do them. Remember, he's going to come back and say, well believed? No, he's not. He's going to come back and say, well, at least you wanted to be a good Christian. No, he's not going to. The only thing he's going to say is, well done. You did it.
I didn't do it.
No, you did. Christ in you. Because you believed, Christ dwelt in you. Because he always dwells in the righteous ones, and that's what makes you righteous, is believing. And so now that you're righteous, he's in you, and therefore you're doing righteous things. It's so simple. It's so powerful. It's so powerful. Now listen to this, and we'll close. And that no one is justified by law before God is clear. It's perspicacious. It's so evident, because the just shall live by faith. So how do we live? Eternal life now, not temporal. How do we live? The just shall live by faith. So you are righteous now because you live by faith. Why? Because you didn't do anything. You didn't deserve it. You didn't do anything. You didn't do right things. You still did wrong things. It doesn't make any difference. I know it's way too good to be true. but it isn't. It's the truth. That'll set you free. All right, let's have a testimony. Let's have a testimony. Who'd like to testify? It's not that many people here, so you won't be embarrassed today. Tommy.
I didn't know that I started coming here and started